Our scripture today is based on a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Thank you, God, for the words of wisdom and power and love that we find in your Holy Scripture. Friends, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at, thinking over, and hopefully updating our various mission statements and mottos. The one on the website, the one on the door, the one on the bulletin, and some others that I've found scattered in our history and around our building. This is part of the Thriving Congregations initiative we're currently engaged in. One of the objective statements of the initiative says, "Congregations will obtain a clearer understanding of their identity and thus articulate a clearer sense of their mission." We need to be able to say clearly and succinctly who we are, what we do, and what we want to do in and for our community. We need something precise and concise to share when someone asks us, "Who are you and what do you do?" And we need to be sure the words we choose and use are, as Paul says, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit who leads us and the power of God within us. These next few weeks in worship will be interactive. In each pew, you'll find some paper. Thanks to everyone who gets those notepads from Habitat from Humanity, St. Jude, and other places. And as you listen and ponder, write down words you think fit us and our mission and your hopes for our church. Then at the end of worship, there's a basket on the table out there where the bulletins are. Just place them in there. May your open heart and open mind be an invitation to the Holy Spirit to come to you with inspiration and insight that will be shared as we shape our plans for our next 70 years. As I said, we have mottos and mission statements all over the place. Downstairs in the administrative office, there's a big framed document, now terribly faded, that must have been the guiding document for our church when it first began 70 years ago. It says, "First Christian Church, Ruidoso, New Mexico, united in Christ, yet cherishing our very diversity. We are a body of believers responding to God's call to study God's teaching as revealed through the Holy Spirit. We seek to live God's message of love, to uplift and unite those within our smaller circle while reaching outward to an ever-widening circle of mankind." I also found a creed somewhere that says, "The church manifests itself in ordered communities of disciples bound together for worship, for fellowship, and for service, and in varied structures for mission, witness, and mutual discipline, and for the nurture and renewal of its members." In our archives, I found this mission statement, which I put on the wall in our fellowship hall. "The mission of Ruidoso First Christian Church is to build the kingdom of God through ministry in the spirit and example of Jesus Christ for service to God and humanity." Are any of the words in any of these statements starting to resonate with you? Write them down. I'm going to make a word cloud of them and also feed them into a ChatGPT to see what it comes up with, although I have an inkling in the back of my mind of what I would like our mission statement to say, and we'll develop that over the next few weeks. The mission statement on the website says, "This church practices union, has no creed but Christ, seeks to make religion as intelligent as science, as appealing as art, as vital as the day's worship, as intimate as the home, as inspiring as love." Frankly, to me, this is kind of meh. What does it mean to say this church practices union? That taps into a Disciples of Christ motto. Unity is our polar star. It's what we seek for and follow. But what does it mean to practice union? And do we just practice union or do we perfect it? What would make someone look at us and say, "Yeah, that church practices or performs or promotes union"? What exactly is union? To say we have no creed but Christ is another time-honored disciples' dictum. Frankly, again, it kind of goes off the rails to say our church seeks to make religion as intelligent as science. The phrasing needs unpacking. Is it saying in some instances religion doesn't entail intelligence? Does it mean we understand religion and science can be in harmony? Does it mean we embrace intelligent design, one of the many theories about creation? What does that mean? Now, the art part, that fits. We have lots of art all around our church building, like our big bronze sculpture in the lobby depicting an idea of the second coming. We have an original Salvador Dali hanging somewhere. Do you ever look at the art in the hall at the back of the sanctuary on your way to the bathroom? Check it out. Some of the pieces are stunning. It's kind of a letdown to say the church wants to make religion as vital as the day's worship, because religion is already the day's worship. It's already the purpose for worship. Religion informs our adoration and praise of God. Did whoever wrote this model mean to say religion should be an intimate part of the home? That we should feel at home here at church? I hope we do. Did the model writer mean to say love should be the inspiration for religion? I contend that whatever we do as a church, as a diverse body of believers in and followers of Christ Jesus, everything we do must be born out of and come down to love. And it must focus on the ultimate example of love we have been given, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as Paul writes. Paul was making his way into territory that, while not quite uncharted, nevertheless needed navigating through. In Corinth, people were always looking for the big next intellectual thing, the next astonishing philosophical truth, something new they could debate and discuss for days on end. The Corinthians flocked to listen to the most eloquent speakers who used rhetoric with power and elegance. Paul felt he was in over his head among them. He felt he couldn't compete with those glib and glamorous speakers who mesmerized their audiences. That's why he said he came with fear and trembling to them. He wasn't going to use worldly wisdom or big words as those other orators did to share his story. He was afraid no one would listen to him and thus dismiss the profound yet simple truth he wanted to impart because he wasn't overly eloquent. In that society, new ideas were thrown and blown about so quickly that it could boggle your mind. It was like going to a sports bar and seeing every NFL game playing all at once on dozens of big screen TVs, all of them playing at full volume. Which one should you, could you focus on? Your favorite team? The number one team in the league? If you try to take everything in all at the same time, you're bound to miss something. Some big plays, some devastating fumbles, some spectacular touchdown catch. With all the different views being spouted all around him, with all the noise and nattering, Paul decided he would not let anything distract him. He decided his main and only focus would be Jesus Christ. Let everyone else argue pointless points. Let everyone else fight about foolish, fretful things. For Paul, all he knew, all he wanted to know, all he wanted to talk about was Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. And to say Jesus Christ and him crucified is pretty powerful, but it doesn't go far enough. I would say Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected, because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? We don't just stop at the cross. We go beyond the cross to the real power play, God's resurrection power. People in Corinth would have looked at Paul like he was a weirdo if he tried to exalt someone who had been crucified. Crucifixion was for the worst of criminals. It was the penultimate punishment for losers. Was Paul actually hitching his wagon to a publicly condemned and executed loser? Paul needed to tack on that extra caveat and resurrected, because that's what made the difference. Jesus was no loser. He had scored a triumph. The ultimate victory over death. The sheer simplicity of Paul's message would have caused the Corinthians to pause. Is it really that simple? Is that all it takes? Yes, it really is that simple. That's all it takes. So whatever we come up with in a model or a mission statement, it needs to be simple, And it must be focused on the love and salvation available to all through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Otherwise, we'll be just what the elder read earlier from 1 Corinthians, noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. Nobody's going to listen to that. But if we speak with love and awe and humility and gratitude and truth about the love of Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and returning, that's what people need to hear. And the power of God will shine through our words as well as our deeds. So yes, I find the one on the website kind of flawed and feeble. It just doesn't float my boat. You feel me? And then while we were at the Thriving Congregations gathering in June, all the participating churches went around the room and shared their mission statements. And guess what? Someone else had this exact same statement that's on our website, word for word, disjointed, disembodied point for disjointed, disembodied point. Somebody's been out there designing a generic mission statement that anyone can claim, a standard that really doesn't say much, in my opinion, about who First Christian Church Rio Doce is and what First Christian Church Rio Doce wants to be and what First Christian Church Rio Doce does. I know we can come up with something better, something more focused, something more dynamic, something with more oomph, something that's distinctly ours because it's decidedly about us, and something that's decidedly and definitely about Jesus, our end and our beginning, our past, our present, and our future. It's just that simple. Let us pray. God, help us keep to the basics in all we do. As we promote and proclaim our church, may our focus always and ever be on Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and returning. May we rely on the sheer simplicity of the message you've entrusted to us, that you love us all and you sent your son Jesus to us all. Bless our work and our worship and our sharing and caring today and always. Amen.
It's like a storm that cuts a path. It breaks your will. It feels like that. You think you're lost, but you're not lost on your own. You're not alone. I will stand by you. I will help you through when you've done all you can do and you can't cope. I will dry your eyes. I will fight your fight. I will hold you tight and I won't. Oh, it finds us all. We're too small to stop the rain. Oh, but when it rains, I will stand by you. I will help you through when you've done all you can do and you can't cope. Stand by you. I will help you.